Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 53 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Preston Pugh, and I'm joined by my two best friends, Garrett Drake.
Good evening.
And Jacob Alka.
Hello, Preston.
Hello. Gentlemen, how are you doing this fine evening?
I'm doing quite well, actually. I had a pretty busy week at work, but Jacob and I enjoyed a lot of Overwatch. It was very exciting. And for the most part, we were pretty victorious. It was great. And in addition to that, I tangoed in a bit of Doom campaign. I'm still trekking through that campaign. Just got the BFG. I think you did the same as well. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Awesome. Yeah, that is a very exciting weapon to use, to say the least. Yeah. But video game-wise, that's all I really had going on, and I had another very bland work week. Nice. Nothing exciting happened in the very slightest.
Sounds so nice.
Yeah.
Yep. Jacob, how about you? Playing Overwatch with him?
Yeah.
Played a lot of fun?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Played a ton of Overwatch with Garrett. Played a lot by myself, too.
Nice.
I think I'm at about level 20 or something
at
this point.
I'm not even 10 yet.
Yeah.
Is there a level cap? Much.
I think it's 50. I don't know if there's a cap. You can get to 50, but I think there's like another leveling system. I don't know. No one's gotten that high yet. So
what's the deal with the levels in the game? I don't really understand it.
What do you mean?
Like when you're leveling up, what do you get from leveling up?
Loot box.
Is that it? You only get loot boxes when you level up?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. You get like a new character portrait every 10 levels. Kind of like Diablo, where you know your character frame changes.
I was wondering why the loot went when and why the loot boxes drop.
Yeah. And cool. You can also purchase them, which we might do a video on that.
Yeah, definitely.
Depends if I want to spend that much money.
If you want
to. Do you gain currency in the game to buy them? Or
yeah,
is it...
if you already have a particular thing that you get from a loot box, it turns into currency.
Oh, okay.
So then you can use that to buy whatever you want, which is kind of cool.
I definitely want to play. I unfortunately didn't even get to participate in the beta.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully one day I can dip my toe in and see what everybody's talking about.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
No, go for it.
I worked a little bit this week.
Okay.
And I also, my pool in the neighborhood opened up this week.
Really?
So I spent some time by the poolside.
Oh, you went and got dipped your toe in a bit,
yeah.
Huh?
Just dipped my toes in.
A little taste of summertime.
I did a few laps.
Wow.
Laid on the seats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got some
tanning. Your recline?
Yeah.
Nice.
Stayed there for a little bit. Washed my car this week.
Wow. Man, very productive.
Mowed the lawn.
Week. Wow, Jacob Alka. You're on top of things.
It was a good week.
Nice.
How nice.
The only interesting thing I kind of sort of did at work was I had to run audio and video for this. There's this private school. It's based out of the church I work at. They're about to move out of the school because the school's gotten too big. And they had a graduation for like their very first class. And it was like taking a time machine back to like 1999. Because like these ladies, awesome ladies, very nice. But they organized it with songs that are from like the mid 90s. Like, you know, no. That was one. All these really, really old songs. That was hilarious. And these poor children, I mean, they were like, these women, as nice as they were like Nazis doing their rehearsal. They rehearsed twice in one day, had to be there. Then the following morning, they rehearsed again and then did the graduation. And you'd think, like, clearly these ladies cared more about this graduation than the kids did.
Yeah.
The poor kids were like not doing anything right. And they're like, quit talking. Sit down. Stand back up. Why are you doing that? Why are you talking right now? You're doing the number wrong. And they're like crazy about it. It was hilarious. But other than that, that's the only really thing I did that was worth mentioning, I guess, at work this week. I took a trip back in time to like 1995. So
nice.
And now I'm back doing a podcast with you guys. Yeah.
Very cool.
Speaking of Overwatch, though, I meant to say that I was going to talk about some of our favorite characters, me personally. Now, what's cool about me and Jacob, and a lot of Overwatch players that understand the game, it isn't about getting a ton of kills or any of that. It's purely team-based strategy to win the match because it's all objective-based, which is cool. And it's fun choosing your character every time because you really never know who you're going to end up playing as. Because, I mean, you might have an idea, but say you join a team and you're feeling like, oh, I kind of want to play, if we're attacking, I kind of want to play Genji this match. So you get in there, one or two guys have already chosen Genji. You're like, well, I want to balance this out a bit more and choose someone else. Me personally, I had the opportunity to play as Mei a good bit over this past week. Me and Jacob played because every time we were on defense, no one picked Mei. I'm like, well, I like playing as Mei. I'm going to play as Mei. And she is an absolute animal. Like, she is unstoppable. And I think it's funny because I'm always telling Jacob how adorable I think Mei is. She's, like, the cutest character in the game, the way she, like, reloads her gun and everything. And, like, when she's talking and everything is so funny. That's great, too, because she has, like, her Mr. Freeze blast where you can, like, freeze people in place. And then she has, like, her dart gun where you hold down a left trigger and then you shoot darts. And, like, if you get people in the head, it takes them out really quick. And her ice walls are super helpful as well. Like, for example, this is a very small example. They're useful for a lot of things, but one time our like a grouping of our team was trying to stop the moving objective in this one little corridor, and it's a very thin area. And Reinhardt has that charging ability where he can just like mow through everyone. So all of a sudden, I see him about to do that. I was like, "Oh crap!" And I throw up my ice wall. And the second he goes, he just runs into the ice wall and it stops him. And probably saved like two or three of us. It's hilarious, but it's exciting because Jacob and I have had a lot of close matches. I mean, we had this one match. What was that map we played on where? We were like convinced you were playing as Pharaoh. We were convinced we were going to lose, and we were just attacking it. We were attacking objective B at the end for like, it felt like 20 minutes.
Oh, and that was Volskaya Industries.
Okay, yeah. See, that we played defense the first round. We won. We're like, yeah. We killed the team. They didn't even get to objective A. Right. And then we played offense and immediately got to objective B. And we were just fighting. I was playing as Roadhog most of the time. Jacob was Pharaoh. And I mean, we fought so hard, just wave after wave after wave. And in the last, literally the last 30 seconds, we pulled out the win. And we were freaking out when we won because we fought so hard for it. Mm-hmm. That's what's fun about the game, because obviously we've mentioned before, all the characters are very entertaining. It's very colorful and fun. The gameplay's fun. They're so diverse amongst all the characters. But when you pull out that victory using teamwork with like a balanced team, it's just so satisfying. And it's cool. And I meant to mention while we're kind of at it that Overwatch, at least this is confirmed from one website. I didn't check multiple, but they say that the rank mode is finally returning in June, because I know they removed that after the beta and didn't have it included again in the launch. But ranked mode is returning, which is cool. I know people have been asking for that just because they say sometimes, I mean, this hasn't happened to us yet, but people are saying they'll join a match and get like just slaughtered by a team in like seconds.
I get slaughtered many times when I play by myself.
Okay. Well, man, it's cool they're bringing that back though in June. So that's, from what I understand, it's confirmed, speaking of Overwatch, but yeah.
Nice.
Overwatch is a lot of fun.
Yeah, y'all talking about it makes me really want to play it. But it's a lot of fun. Unfortunately, traveling a lot. I'm mostly sticking to single-player stuff. Mm-hmm. But speaking of that, I platinumed Uncharted this week.
Excellent.
So that was nice. I felt really sad after I did it. Like, I had finished just like I think I told you on the phone, it felt like when I finished Breaking Bad, and I was just like, what do I do now?
Yeah.
So, I'm really sad that that's over. But getting back into Doom again, I wanted to play something kind of like lighthearted, so I went and got a Ratchet & Clank and played about an hour of that, and I'm enjoying that a lot, so I'm excited to hop back into that. But, that's all I've been really doing. Speaking of work, something pretty interesting happened to me on Friday. Yesterday.
Okay.
So I'm leaving work. And I'm in North Carolina right now, and it's about a 4-hour drive back. So I'm getting in my car. My good friend Paul, he asked me, he's like, hey, we've been working out all week together. So he's like, hey, you want to go to the gym really quick before you leave? Because we got off pretty early. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, sure. So I went to my car to get some pre-workout to drink, and I'm laying in my car, and I feel somebody come up behind me, and I turn around, and it's a really older gentleman. He starts asking me about my car and stuff, and I'm like, telling him, and he just seems kind of friendly, but he walks away. But in his place, another older gentleman walked up and started talking to me, and I'm asking me about my car and stuff, and I like would tell him what it is, and I'd finish. And
tell our viewers who don't know what your car is, what it is, so they have a gain of perspective as to why these guys are asking about
it's
your car.
It's a 2016 Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming to me asking me like, oh, is it this and this? And I'm telling them what it is. And so he'll like ask me a question and I'll answer him, and it'll just be silence.
Yeah.
Like, so I continue making my drink, and then he'll ask me another question, and I'll like stop making the drink and answer it. Then I'll continue making it.
Yeah.
And he starts to get really personal. Like he's like, so what time are you leaving today? I was like, right now. And Paul had driven up and asked me, like, hey, meet me back at the hotel.
Yeah.
So immediately after he heard me say, yeah, I'll meet you at the hotel, he started asking me these questions, like, well, what time are you leaving today?
Yeah.
I was like, kind of right now. He's like, well, what hotel are you staying at? And I was like,
and this is a guy on a job site asking you this? Okay.
Yeah, this random dude. He's like doing the pavement of the place. And I'm like, just a hotel down the street, man. And he's like, well, where do you live? I was like, Georgia? Well, what part of Georgia? I was like, the Atlanta area. So I'm thinking, I'm like, this dude is trying to like hunt me down and like kill me or something. And he said something else, but I don't think I can say it.
What did he say?
So I can't say it.
It has something to do with like how many girls do you get or something?
No, it has something to do with Atlanta, but I can't really say it here.
Okay, so I already know what you're saying.
I'll tell
say.
You guys off. It's not a it's a very not politically correct thing to say, but it shocked me. I was like, oh, okay, sure, man. But
oh, that's hilarious.
I'm sure the viewers can use their imagination.
Right.
He said there was a certain particular type of people down here.
Right.
So, and he went on a little rant, and I was like, oh, okay, this is very comfortable.
Oh, man.
So, but anyways, yeah, that was the most exciting thing that happened to me this week.
Oh, that sounds very exciting, Preston. Thank you for sharing. That's at least one interesting story that's happened to one of us in a while. Yes. I've had nothing. Ever since I left SMS, I have no funny stories anymore.
Went out with a bang with that the poop story.
Oh, I did. That was interesting.
Saw that guy last week.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. Was he dropping stuff off?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And I told Paul about that story.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Speaking of exciting events, guys, this is kind of a good little transition into our news this week. A lot of stuff happened.
Oh,
sort of.
Really quick, make sure you check us out on iTunes.
Yes.
Subscribe and please rate us 5 stars.
That would help us out a lot.
Help us out.
Even if you don't listen on iTunes, just go on there and be like, these guys are cool, I guess.
Yes.
1 star.
Literally say that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that would help. But yeah, we'd greatly appreciate that. But speaking of exciting events, guys, let's jump in. This is from our best friend from IGN, Joe Screbbles. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Quote. You going to say something, Jacob?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, quote.
Yeah, shut your mouth.
The Entertainment Software Association has announced that E3 Live 2016, a free ticketed satellite event open to the public throughout the course of Core E3 show from June 14th to the 16th. Taking place at the LA Live Complex, situated next door to E3's home, the LA Convention Center, the event will feature playable games, live entertainment, industry personality meetups, exclusive merchandise for sale. No specific playable games have been detailed at time of writing. Tickets are available now to first-come, first-served basis at the E3 Live website. E3 has traditionally only ever included a trade show component open exclusively to members of the games industry, but recent years have seen the likes of Nintendo breaking away from the accepted structure and hosting public-facing events. The latest company to follow suit is EA, which has foregone its usual show floor presence at the show to host EA Play in both Los Angeles and London, an event that will feature many of the games shown off at the publisher's conference, including Titanfall 2, end quote. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's been how many years has it been since they allowed the public into E3?
A while.
Yeah, it's been a good while now. I remember when we were kids watching E3, we were like, man, I want to go to E3 so bad. And it seemed like that the next year they're like, it's closed off to the public now, only the industry can get inside.
Yeah. You know what, honestly, it would be really cool to go there. Like, I would love to go there and stuff, but from what I've heard, it's like the viewers actually have like a better experience for the most part, because you literally can just chill and you sit and still see. You don't have to worry about getting to press conference mm-hmm. and stuff. But I'm sure that, like, you know, the experience of just being there would just be amazing. But I can mm-hmm. the people that say, you know, we have the better experience are the ones that have been going to it year after year after year. So.
I understand that completely. Yeah. I feel like any first timers, even if you are working the first time, would still be fun, just the experience. But I can easily see why that would get old after a while. But
yeah.
That is pretty cool. I mean, I know we've talked about in our dreams, maybe one day It's Obvious Gaming will appear at E3 doing stuff that everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
But regardless, this year we will be doing what we did last year, covering all the conferences, giving our thoughts. And then at the end of the week, we'll have like a big wrap-up podcast on our that whatever episode that is that mm-hmm. week. So pretty exciting. I know you and I have work off on Monday. I don't really see the point having the rest of the week off, but what about you, Jason?
I have a doctor's appointment that week.
Okay.
So on Tuesday. So I should have that entire week off.
Nice.
Just because of that. So.
Excellent. Yeah, it's like E3 sometimes. Not every year, but sometimes it'll be so exciting that I like don't want to go to work just because I'm excited.
Yeah.
Even if I like don't physically have anything. So yeah. It's pretty cool. But moving on, speaking of IGN type stuff, this is from Nicole Carpenter of IGN. Quote, following this morning's report, more information is streaming and regarding Microsoft's 2 new Xbox One models the company will reportedly release over the next 2 years. One of Microsoft's new consoles, codenamed Project Scorpio, will be 4 times as powerful as the current Xbox One model, a source told Polygon. The second console, which is reportedly a slimmed-down version of the current hardware, will also receive a controller redesign. And Kotaku's earlier Xbox One report, it was said that the smaller, cheap Xbox One console would release this year and contain a 2 terabyte hard drive. Holy crap, that's pretty intense. This console is expected to be revealed at this year's E3. Polygon source reported that the announcement was promoted, among other things, by Sony's speedy timeline for its upgraded PlayStation 4. The smaller Yeah, the smaller console is expected to be 40% smaller than the current model and will likely include 4K support, a source familiar with Microsoft's plan told The Verge. The main concern for Scorpio is apparently its power, as Sony's PlayStation 4 has outperformed Xbox One in this way for a while. According to Polygon, Microsoft is determined to end this narrative. Microsoft's current performance target for Scorpio is around 6 teraflops. I like that word. The source said, quite a bit higher than the PlayStation Neo's expected 4.14 teraflops. Scorpio is unlikely to be released before late 2017. Pricing for Microsoft new consoles are currently under active discussion, end quote. That's a lot of Xbox news floating around.
Yeah.
If this is all 100% fact, that's pretty cool for Microsoft and Xbox.
I mean, they had to do something. They can't, you know, be not as powerful as the old PS4 now, and then the PS4.5 come out, and then it just be like super underpowered.
Right.
So, I mean, they got to compete.
Yeah.
So
it's one
that's
thing.
That's definitely some competition if they're going to have two more teraflops. I don't know what that means.
Teraflops.
But,
I love that.
I'm glad that there's a smaller one coming out too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that should have happened a long time ago. Yeah, that thing's massive.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's like we've always joked it's kind of like a little mini toaster oven or something.
Yeah.
But it is understandable as to why they're doing the new hardware and everything. We all were saying, like you said, they have to do something. But I'm wondering if just because, like, oh, look at our new badass powerful console. Technically, it's more powerful than the PS Neo, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if that will still even make a difference for Microsoft. I mean, obviously, I'm sure they'll sell more consoles. But you got to think even the current Xbox One owners are like, well, I already bought your first $500 console. Why should I buy? Even though the next one's more powerful. Like,
yeah.
It is technically, we're all talking about this is really soon after the launch of the original ones. But I've always wondered steps Microsoft could take to, like, build themselves back up.
They just kind of need to do what... I mean, they've been in the process of doing it, but Sony got so far ahead of them by saying they just acted like they cared about the gamer, whereas Xbox One was their entire messaging when they first came out was TV, sports, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, it plays games, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they need to get back to just the... be focused on the games and just kind of get rid of all that other crap.
Right.
Then again, I don't know if they can completely get rid of it because it's, you know, it's already on Xbox One, so they got to have the be able to put your TV through it and all the stuff with the Kinect and everything, but I just don't think it should be the focus of their messaging. It just needs to be all about the gamers. Like, if it is more powerful, they need to keep that at the forefront, kind of like PlayStation was doing with their stuff that, like, runs better on Xbox. So I don't know if that'll necessarily catch them up because they're so far behind right now.
I don't know if it'll ever even catch up, but I'm wondering if, like, their persona will be altered, like what they can do to, like, alter people's like gamers' perspective of Microsoft. Like, me personally, I'm whatever about it because that time is come and gone. But I'm thinking, like, if they're even, like, and there's rumors floating around, like, there might not be another console generation. It might just be updates from here on out. If there were to be another console generation, like for the next Xbox, for example, I've always thought that, I mean, I'm not as prone to it as other people are, but people love nostalgic feelings. Like, people love nostalgia because I'm thinking, like we even said before Xbox One came out, we're like, me and Jacob were saying, like, what if they just called it the Xbox and it was like a cool, like, neon green color? Like, just that just sounded cool to me. And I'm wondering, if, for nostalgia's sake, if, like, the next one did come out, and they, not only did they focus, obviously, on the gamer side of things, but, and it's, and how powerful it was, but have it with a cool name, a sleek design with, like, a nice, cool, bright green color, and have, like, the intro, you know how, like, the intros on the consoles now are very simple, but, like, bring back the original Xbox, like, you know how, like, PlayStation had its original intro, or, like, the PlayStation symbol and everything, but have the original Xbox's intro kind of, like, redesigned for, like, next gen, like, it looks exactly like the old one, just looks all HD and cool and colorful and everything. I feel like for nostalgic purposes, that might spark people a lot of, like, love people had for the original Xbox and stuff. But
I mean, it's got to have the games. I think all that stuff is cool and dandy and stuff. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't have the stuff, nobody's going to buy it.
That's my biggest problem with Xbox. Just their IP doesn't excite me as nearly as much as PlayStation's does. And that's the main reason why I don't play my Xbox, really.
Which is funny. It's funny because I totally agree, but it is funny how PlayStation has had far less exclusive come out since launch versus Xbox One. But even at the end of the day, all the ones we are waiting for, we're, like, very excited about versus Xbox. But yeah, it's cool that they're doing that. I'm excited to see it in action and stuff.
I wonder what Sony's response will be if the Xbox
is technically more powerful.
I don't know exactly how much more powerful 2 teraflops is, but I know 6 compared to 4, it sounds, you know, like a considerable difference. So yeah, I just wonder how Sony's gonna handle that, because like I said, it's like they can always fall back on that, is that the games are running better on their system. So I wonder if the shoe's on the other foot, you know, what they're going to do about that. So
yeah, I mean, only time will tell. And as we said, we were assuming this E3 is going to be a very interesting one. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I'm still 10 times more excited to hear about all the games we have in our future versus all this hardware stuff. But at the end of the day, if and when we hear this information, hopefully it'll make things clearer. But
yeah.
Speaking of consoles, this is from Chloe Rad of IGN. Quote, PlayStation 4 sales officially surpassed 40 million units worldwide as of May 22nd, 2016. In January of this year, Sony announced total PS4 sales had hit 35.9 million units, meaning over 4.1 million PS4 consoles have sold in the first half of 2016 alone. According to Sony, PS4 game sales are also strong, selling a worldwide total of 270.9 million copies, from physical retail games to digital downloads. The PS4 exclusive Uncharted 4 Thief's End sold over 2.7 million copies in a single week after launching on May 10th, making it the fastest selling PS4 first-party title to date, according to the PlayStation blog. Another new speculation about PS4's mid-generation upgrade, allegedly codenamed Neo, continues to grow. The most recent report suggests that rumored PlayStation 4.5 will release in September, end quote. PlayStation's a beast.
Yeah.
With those sales, man. And regarding the Uncharted thing, I don't think that really... I'm assuming none of us were surprised by that, because obviously...
No, it being the fastest... No, I mean, what else was up against it? Infamous?
That was about it.
I mean...
I can't think of anything
else. I don't
know
if the order was first party.
Was
I know Sony published it, but I don't know if... Is Ready at Dawn a Sony studio?
I don't know.
I think they might be. I don't know.
I feel like they were.
I mean, what else? It was as big as Uncharted.
Yeah, nothing.
Really. Maybe God of War was.
I'm trying to think of
anything. I mean, that was a re-release, though, so.
No. Oh, yeah. I just mean in general. Yeah.
As far as PlayStation exclusives are concerned, I'm trying to think of anything that will...
I don't know if that matters, but I don't know if they account for the re-releases, if that's separate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, nothing is.
I can't see God of War remaster selling 2.1 million copies.
No. I don't even know if like a new God of War would sell as much as Uncharted, do you think?
Just maybe. Depends. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, God of War is really popular, but I don't know really how it sells.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a well-known IP.
Right.
It's associated with Sony, so I think it would sell very well. So.
Yeah, but PlayStation continues to trudge on with those sales, man. They're just not slowing down, which is cool.
Yeah, I'm good, definitely interested to see how the Neo is going to sell.
Yeah.
So, that'll be interesting.
I mean, I'm assuming, regardless, we're all going to buy one. I'm definitely going to buy one. Yeah. I mean, why not?
I know.
But it will be sad, though. Like, that pretty much means, like, our old PS4. I mean, technically, this is my second PS4, but our original PlayStation 4 would just be, like, done after that. So short.
Yeah,
I remember getting that for the first time.
I just hope the next console generation is just upgradable.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I think that's what's going to happen, and just like an easy upgrade. Like there's a box or something in it that you either plug into it or switch out, and it's, you know, it runs off the same hard drive, so you're not switching out hard drives and stuff. Like I hope that's not a complicated process when I upgrade to Neo. I hope it's as easy as taking out my HDD and sticking in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I think that's the future we're going towards, because technology is just advancing so, so, so fast. I don't know if we can keep going 10 years at a time with these consoles.
Right.
So,
yeah, times are changing in the gaming world, and I'm mostly excited about it.
But
we'll see how it goes. But yeah, speaking of Uncharted, we have reviewed Uncharted 4. We all loved it. Preston mentioned at the beginning of the episode that he has indeed platinumed it.
Yeah,
so was Jacob.
The last time I talked to you, time I was on the podcast.
Did you want to chime in? Any thoughts that you had on the ending, at least, of the game?
No, I mean, I loved it. Mm-hmm. I think it...
Are we going to spoil anything?
No, I'm not going to spoil anything, just in case, because I know there are probably some people that haven't beaten it.
Right.
But I really love the ending.
Yeah.
So... That's all I'll say.
Yeah, well, we did review the game, and if you guys are at all interested, I know it's been a while since the game's released. You've probably all beaten it by now. Listen to reviews if you enjoy reviews, but our review, if you're at all interested in hearing what we had to say about the game, we gave it a 2 out of 10, so game sucks. But no, we loved it.
Huffington Post on Metacritic, I think they gave it a 4 out of 10.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Troy Baker, I follow him on Twitter, he was tweeting out this petition to get that review off the Metacritic score, because it was like the stupidest review I'd ever read.
Really?
The negatives were that there's like too much detail in the game and stuff.
What?
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
That's hilarious.
I think all the reviews that I've been reading, I think it's Uncharted 4 is the cool thing to not like right now because
Right,
of how good it is.
Yeah.
And people are just claiming it's one of the worst Uncharted. I like how Uncharted 2 is so much better.
Wow.
And I Uncharted 2 is a fantastic game. And I think technically the set pieces in Uncharted 2, you could argue, are better.
Mm-hmm.
But the gameplay as a whole and the story as a whole,
right,
and everything else outweighs Uncharted 2
a ton.
It was good for its time.
I mean, it's good for now if that game were to come
even
out.
Even remastered is great.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I think people are just hate, and all the nitpicks and stuff. They're literally nitpicks. It's like, they're just like, what can I say?
We have to find something.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing I can kind of see is a slow beginning.
Right.
But I didn't think it was slow because I went into it knowing this was our final time with these characters.
Uh-huh.
So anytime I could sit down and just see them interact and learn something new, I was fully invested into it. So I didn't even think, I mean, I read something that, in the original idea, that there wasn't even going to be as much shooting as there was.
Really?
Yeah. So they really wanted it to be like grounded, not just Nate was just like,
I like that.
Yeah. Which there's that trophy for killing 1,000 dudes. It's called, so I forgot the term they use, but it's like they acknowledge
that's ridiculous.
That Nate has killed that many people and how it's funny.
Uh-huh.
So I forgot the name of the trophy. It's called like In Narrative Dishonest or something like that. But it had always been a criticism of the series that Nate's just like mowing down guys and like nobody cares.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, who, whatever.
It's actually a gold trophy.
Yeah.
It is funny to think about.
What's a hidden trophy?
Yeah.
But
it's
it
like,
turns into gold.
Especially when he's like at the beginning, this isn't a spoiler, but at the beginning of the game when you start out and he's essentially retired.
Yeah.
And it's like to think like he has killed thousands of people. It's like, he's just like, whatever, I'm retired now.
But I mean, it's like Indiana Jones killed people and nobody says anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a freaking action.
Of course, arguably,
thing.
I think anytime Indiana Jones, even Nate, though, like, it's always in technically in self-defense.
Yeah, it's in self-defense. He never just cold-blood murders somebody.
Right, right.
So
yeah, it's funny. But speaking, like, we meant, I was going to say Uncharted. We have reviewed it. It's in our review playlist on youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. We don't put our reviews on iTunes or anything. It's strictly our podcast. But if you enjoy this podcast, if you listen anywhere but YouTube, you can visit us on our YouTube channel. We got a bunch of content we'd love to share with you guys. But yeah, we loved Uncharted. But speaking of PlayStation 4 games, and we also mentioned The Order a few minutes ago. The Order's new game is to be revealed next week. It's from Joe Scrubbles of IGN. Quote, Ready at Dawn.
Ready at Dawn's new game.
Right.
Not The Order.
Yeah, I didn't mean to say The Order's new game. The developer of The Order's new game. Ready at Dawn, the developer behind the PS4 exclusive The Order 1886, will reveal its new game next week. The news was announced by GameStop COO Tony Bartel on the retailer's first quarter investor call. GameStop recently set up a publishing arm, GameTrust, which will be handling Ready at Dawn's new title. Game Trust's first game, Song of the Deep, developed by Ratchet & Clank developer Insomniac, is due for release on July 12th. Once Ready at Dawn's new game is announced, Game Trust has two more associated developers yet to announce their new projects, Trine developer Frozen Byte and Deadlight developer Tequila Works. We gave The Order 1886 a 6.5 review, praising its stunning looks, atmosphere, and style, but said those were matched by shallow, slow, and generic QuickTime event-riddled gameplay.
Is there where is it? Yeah, is it he's tiny.
Okay, cool. That's all right.
There's a spider we've been following around.
Where'd he go?
I don't know.
I know you spotted him earlier, didn't you, Jacob?
Yeah.
It's pretty scary. There was a giant, I'm talking like a bird-sized moth that got in my room the other night, and Casey and I were in bed, and like I saw it up on that corner of my ceiling. We were laying there. I was like, holy crap. That, like, if it was a little one, I wouldn't care. But I was like, man, that's a pretty big moth. It's kind of disturbing. And I was like, I should probably at least try to capture him and either throw him outside or just kill him because I'm kind of tired. I don't care. So he's flying around my room, and all of a sudden he's flying around. I'm like, Casey, keep your eye on him. I'm going to get some toilet paper so I can grab him. She's like, okay. I come back like 10 seconds later. She's like, I lost him. I was like, how can you lose him? He's massive. And she's like, he flew onto your poster wall. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the poster wall behind us. It's very colorful, so a moth can easily blend into it because there's so many colors. So I'm looking. I was like, I don't see him. And I get my face like right up underneath the wall, and I still don't see him. I was like, where did it go? And she's like, I don't know. And we sat there with the lights on for like 10 minutes. I was thinking like maybe he'll fly towards the light eventually, but he never came out. It's like, this is so scary.
Where'd he go?
I don't know. I was like, we're just going to have to go to sleep and hope this bird-sized moth doesn't fly and land on our heads in our sleep. This is so big, you could like hear its wings flapping like a bird.
Holy crap.
I was like, man, that's scary. I lost him. He could still be in here for all we know. By the way, speaking of moths, there is a dead one on the floor behind me. I saw when I was crawling under the table, mm-hmm. plugging stuff in. I was like, oh.
Was that him? A little snack.
No, it wasn't the same guy. I snacked on him. No, but he's dead behind me. But speaking of The Order's new game,
Ready at Dawn's new game.
Yeah, sorry, I keep saying that. It's because the first word on the title is The Order's new, Order Developer's new title. But yeah, Ready at Dawn's new game. Do you think it's a sequel to The Order? Or do you think
no,
it's something brand new?
No, because Sony isn't publishing it. It's that GameStop place.
You're right, you're right. Yeah, so
that GameStop.
I guess we have no idea what to expect.
No.
Yeah, speaking of, not that I really, the only reason I included GameStop's review he recaps in this article was because I wanted to kind of recap our thoughts on that game and if we think that has anything to do with the developer's next title, I think that'll affect their next title
now,
at
GameStop
all.
GameStop reviews games?
Not GameStop, it was IGN's
review. Oh, IGN's review, okay, gotcha. Well, I hope, I don't know what it could be, and I know Ready at Dawn did some PSP games, God of War PSP games, so I really don't see them as like a... Like, I'm not necessarily, like, pumped for it, but I'm
either.
Interested. But
I'm definitely interested to hear, because that's the thing, like, we all, like, we did a review actually, I forgot, our very first podcast ever, don't watch it, please, was us kind of talking about our review of The Order, and we all liked it for the most part. I understand the criticisms completely.
Oh, completely. Now, for how much money it is, I was actually in GameStop the other day, it was like $19.99. Totally worth that. Uh-huh. Like, if you haven't played it, and I know you've probably heard all the hubbaloo about it, but I definitely think you should pick it up now for the price it is. I think that's definitely worth the price of admission.
Totally.
But I thought my $60 purchase was, you know, I thought it was fine.
Yeah, we all platinumed that, didn't we?
Yeah.
It's one of the few games I've platinumed
that was my
in
first
a long plan. Time.
It was nothing crazy, but it was fun.
Right.
So
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, like you, I completely understand all the criticism, but for $20... You can do much worse, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember. It's weird to think about. That was pretty long ago now. That was about a little over a year ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Pretty cool. Speaking of PlayStation 4 games, this is from Matt Porter of IGN. Quote, new gameplay details have emerged for The Last Guardian, Sony's hotly anticipated action-adventure game. I think I said just action-adventurer game. Sorry. Action-adventure game. Issue 294 of Edge Magazine has early impressions in an interview with designer Fumito Ueda. The main character will have a mirrored shield, which can shine a beam of light that acts as a marker for the creature. I haven't learned how to pronounce the creature's name. It's T-R-I-C-O. Is that Trico?
Trico?
We're going to call him Trico for
it's
now.
It's like the mirror shield from Zelda.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. The person will say Trico, so let's go with that.
So the mirror acts, like I said, shines a beam of light that acts like a marker for the creature Trico to fire a red lightning beam from his tail. Edge's demo used this mechanic to solve environmental puzzles such as removing wooden walls and destroying rock faces. According to Edge, Trico will apparently be a free-spirited creature that fragrantly disregards your attempts to tame it. This lack of complete control of the creature is important to you, Ida, because there's a lot of games out there where you can do that. Some of these are really written strangely, sorry. I think I've had enough of them, he says. As the game goes on, the relationship between the boy and Trico will improve, and he will be more likely to carry out your commands. Edge says Trico is powerful yet timid. Being part cat, he is reluctant to jump into water, and his eyes will change color to reflect its mood. The role of the creature is ambiguous, said Ueda, and it doesn't always have to do what you ask it to do. So far, Sony has been withholding the Last Guardian footage to preserve the story. However, we can expect to see more of the Last Guardian E3 this year. End quote. So, I thought that was interesting gameplay mechanic-wise, how he mentions how Trico is what we're calling him right now, right?
Sure.
Trico?
Isn't Trico a Pokemon?
No.
Are you sure?
There's so many Pokemon
there's
now.
There's one
Who
that's
knows?
Close to that, I think.
I swear Trico's a Pokemon.
You got a phone right there. Look it up.
I'm going to look it
up. So you look it up. I was going to say the mechanic sounds interesting. I don't know if this will be actually annoying or not because I haven't played the game.
But I know there's a tree something, and it's like a dinosaur-looking thing.
Yeah.
With leaf wings. I don't know if it's Trico, though. You might be right.
Do you guys... we'll have to wait and play the game, but I'm wondering if that'll be annoying how he doesn't... He just like will not listen Trico. To you. Is it spelled the same way?
No, but that's...
Okay.
No, I was thinking Trico. Of something else.
Yeah.
Maybe it's pronounced differently.
Here, let me see it. Here's what I was thinking of.
But do you think that'll be annoying if you're like, hey, go do this thing. I just want you to bust down this wall so I can continue on. He just like doesn't listen to you.
I don't think it'll necessarily be like that.
I feel like it'll be tamed in the sense to where like narratively it'll make sense.
Yeah.
But gameplay, like if you read that on paper, gameplay wise, you'd be like, that sounds annoying, but I bet it's purely narrative.
I don't think it's going to be anything where you can like fail. Where you're
right,
come catch me. And he just like lays there and you like fall to your death and have to restart. Like, I don't think it's going to be like that. But I'm interested in that game. I've never beat one of their games before.
Was Shadow of the Colossus one of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Ico.
Okay.
Never played Ico. Played a lot of Shadow of the Colossus, and I thought it was really cool, but for some reason I stopped playing it.
I only made it through halfway of that game, and I only played it because you told me to.
And I knew
the
ending, too.
Oh, okay.
Which kind of kept me from playing it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm excited about this.
Yeah, me too.
I hope it comes out this year. It needs to come out this year.
If it
doesn't come out this year, then they're absolutely out of their mind.
Yeah. I was thinking of Tropius, that dinosaur-looking thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I read a rumor that apparently when a lot of people saw this demo, they're like, it is confirmed for 2016, but obviously the developer themselves hasn't said that.
Shuhei Yoshida, I think he said, oh, no, he said that about Horizon.
Right.
Horizon's 2016. Which
Who knows what's true nowadays? Yeah. So many rumors.
I saw something about Horizon. Do you remember seeing anything about Horizon this
past
week?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I'm sure they'll show some stuff tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow at E3.
At E3.
Yeah.
I still think it's coming out this year.
I don't.
I do.
I hope you're hopeful, too.
I feel like that'd be a great holiday season game.
Yeah, but they're already going to have that new Gran Turismo apparently coming out.
Who cares?
And who cares? Yeah. Gran Turismo sells like hotcakes.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't care.
I'm going to give that game a shot. I'm going to try to get into a car game.
If it's a VR game, I'll try it.
I think they said that it's going to be a thing.
Yeah, Gran Turismo is definitely one of Sony's money makers. Like, big time.
I played Gran Turismo on PS2, and I didn't understand it. But my dad had a friend. The only reason I got Gran Turismo as a kid is my dad's friend loved it, and he was, like, a really big car guy.
Yeah.
And but I'm going to give Gran Turismo the new one a try, purely because, I've always been interested in car games, but I haven't truly given them a chance. I've only either watched people play them or briefly played, like, demos of them. So I kind of want to give, like, an actual car game a chance.
If it's VR, I'll for sure give it a chance. Just because I'll have VR, and I'll want to play everything in it. But, yeah. As far as that goes, I agree with you in a sense. I sure don't care, but I know millions of people do. So that's a Sony exclusive that's going to make a lot of money this holiday season. And Last Guardian should make probably not a ton, but a decent amount.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know why. Whenever I see The Last Guardian, I think of like the kid and his Trico and like just the world that we've seen from the brief demo we saw. I just feel like around winter time when it's cold outside, I'd like to play that game.
I'm excited.
I don't know why. But yeah, I'm excited. E3 is just around the corner, so we're getting pumped. But boys, this is the best news of the week. I know we're all going to be excited about this. No Man's Sky is delayed till August.
I'm excited.
Mm. Yeah, from creator Sean Murray, he officially announced the delay via the PlayStation blog writing, quote, "The game has really come together, and it's such an incredible relief. As we sit and play it now, and as I watch playtesters every day, I can finally let myself get excited. We're actually doing this. However, as we approached our final deadline, we realized that some key moments needed extra polish to bring them up to our standards. I have had to make the tough choice to delay the game for a few weeks to allow us to deliver something special. After a short delay, No Man's Sky will launch in North America on August 9th, in Europe August 10th, and in the UK August 12th, end quote. So, this doesn't surprise me.
Nope.
We're used to delays in this world now. Yeah. Everything is delayed at least once.
I think it's funny because they were like in concrete that this is coming out in, was it June or July?
June.
It was June.
Yeah.
Yeah. They like had the whole announce or like collector's edition and everything. And then they still delay it. So I guess you can never really count on, you can never really count on a game to, you know, even if they say like 100% it's coming out, for it to come out on that exact day. But it's not too bad. I mean, if we've been waiting this long to June, we can wait till August.
Yeah.
When I first heard the rumor, I thought they were going to delay it to like be a launch title with PlayStation VR and have VR compatibility and stuff.
Oh, I was hoping so bad.
I have a feeling that it's not going to be compatible because I honestly don't think the VR is strong enough to support that game.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
It's it's like you said, like it's not going to be a long wait because in today's day and age when we're all grown up working full time, games come out so fast it like stresses me out.
Yeah, I'm so stressed out about Blood and Wine.
Me too.
And I still have to beat Far Harbor, which I want them to fix it before I dive into it. Then Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
Coming out early
it's
June.
A weird yes. word.
Catalyst.
Spelt,
I'm excited. I love Mirror's Edge.
I want to play it for
sure. The first Mirror's Edge was so freaking cool.
Yeah, I'm amazed you guys really are knocking out Platinums, I meant to say, with all these games coming out, because I'll get like, I'll be trudging through to earn a platinum. Like Ratchet and Clank, I'm pretty close in that game, but all this new stuff has come out and I'm still trying to do all that. And I'm like, oh, I want a platinum Doom too. I'm going to do all this stuff. But I'll get like halfway through and I'm like, oh, something else came out. And when Witcher Blood and Wine comes out, I already know for a fact that game is going to be amazing. It's already gotten incredible reviews. I'm going to be like neck deep in that until I finish it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just don't have to, like, I want to get all these platinums as well, but I just like run out of time. And then by the time I get back to them, I was like, oh, something else came out again. So
yeah,
it's tough.
I'm going to try and platinum Doom this coming week.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see if it can be done. I know it can't.
Are there any
be
multiplayer
done.
Trophies?
Yes, but it's like get to level 10.
Okay, that's not hard.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I wanted to say this, ladies and gentlemen. This video is out on Monday, May. Don't care about the date. I can't look it up right now. Anyway, it's a Monday. We release this podcast if you're listening on a Monday. You may or may not be aware, if you've stuck with us for a while, if you watch our YouTube videos via our YouTube channel, we started a series last week called Doom Undefeated, or Undefeated in Doom. It's hilarious because we only did two matches in our first video. We're like, well, that's really boring. Who cares about being 2-0? Anyone can do that. But the only reason why we counted that is because in the beta, we mentioned we went 46-0. So we're like, oh, technically we're 48-0, whatever, cool. So today we sat down to do our second episode. I'm like, all right, Preston, let's play through like between 6 and 8 matches, and we'll just turn it into like a fun, really quick montage of just like fun kills, fun gameplay, so that when we get to like 10-0, 15-0, if we do make it that far, it'll be more exciting. Because I feel like, me personally, if I saw someone that was 2-0, I'd be like, that's stupid, I don't care. But if I saw someone whose record was like 25-0, I'm like, man, they're doing well right now. I kind of want to check this out. Anyway, we started playing, made it through our first two matches, and went well. Our first match was so freaking close. We won 75-72, and we were down by 5 or 6 kills the entire match. We were freaking out. My heart was pounding, because I was like, we can't end this on episode 2. It's going to be so embarrassing. Thankfully, we won. Played through a second match, we won. Or was that, was the second match?
It was
match
just you.
Okay, second match, that's when all hell broke loose. Yeah. We will not have, my point of the story is saying that we will not have an episode of that this week, because I was excited about that series because I want to see how far we can progress as quickly as possible before like no one cares. But we played through one match, went well, barely won. But the second match, the servers glitched up and I had to play by myself, and I was freaking out because if I quit the match to join Preston again, it'll count as a loss. But if I also lose the match, obviously it's a loss. I'm like, I just have to fight and hopefully I win. Thankfully, I won, but we only got two matches because the servers exploded and nothing worked. We could, like, at first it was separating us a lot, and then by the end of it, we couldn't even get a match at all. Like, neither of us could, so we gave up on that. We'll try it again next week. Save the gameplay for then, but if anyone even slightly cared at all, that's my Doom news for the week. I forgot to mention.
Yeah, I'm sure a ton of people.
Yeah,
were
totally.
Counting on that.
I'm more excited just for ourselves to see how far we can make it, but good luck with your platinum with that, by the way.
Thank you.
We'll see how much time I have this week. Hopefully fit in some more Overwatch as well. I can't wait to play that again. It's so much fun. But yeah, so moving on. After No Man's Sky delay, this is from Alex Osborne of IGN. Quote, following reports from a Japanese firm that Nintendo is developing a new handheld codenamed MH, Catan Games CEO Dr. Sirkon Todo, that sounds like an evil villain in a video game, has taken to social media to shed light on the rumor, saying it's not confirmation that a handheld development, but rather a hypothetical scenario made by Morgan Stanley Japan. He says, quote, that Morgan Stanley Japan note on Nintendo does not mean a portable console or the name MH is confirmed. They are picturing a scenario, Toto explained on Twitter, noting in a follow-up post that such rich forward-looking analysis and also the wording is standard in investor notes. That's a really confusing sentence. After receiving the investor report and reading through it himself, Toto returned to Twitter to reaffirm that they were picturing a scenario, as the analyst clearly says that they are just projecting. They use MH as a codename to make the report more readable. It's arbitrary. While Nintendo won't be discussing its plans for future hardware this year's E3, company president Tatsumi
Yamada,
it says Tatsumi Kimishima.
I thought Tatsumi Yamada.
Maybe there's two Tatsumis.
Maybe that might be a common name.
Kimishima. No, it's Kimishima.
Tatsumi Yamada. I know that's a dude.
Has made clear its forthcoming console, codename NX, won't be a... This is weird. Listen to this. I meant to tell you guys this. It sounded weird to me. Tatsumi Kimishima has made it clear its forthcoming console, codename NX, won't be a pure replacement for Wii U and will instead offer a new way of playing games when it launches in March 2017.
If you're in the comments, please tell me who Tatsumi Yamada is, because I swear that's a person. I Googled it and I got, do I mean Tatsumi Tomato?
That's the guy you were thinking
of.
Yeah,
I swear that's a name.
Maybe. Maybe you're mixing two Japanese names together.
Maybe. Maybe.
Just try Yamada and see what comes up.
Yo.
whenever we read this Nintendo news, I wanted to say, it's like, I want to be excited about it. And even to this very day.
Yeah, that's a dude, Tatsumi Yamada.
What does he do?
He is...
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Hang on. Oh. That's a character in a manga.
Ah, that's what it is.
No, but I don't know what it is, though. I swear that was like some game developer's name. Yeah, it's like a character in an anime. I swear. Whatever. Maybe I'm mixing two names
together. You tried.
I'm mixing two names together, I'm sure.
Even to this day, I'm like, I need to get a Wii U. I need to get a 3DS. And part of me still wants those things, but I still haven't bought them, and I don't know why. Maybe deep down inside, I'm waiting for all this new Nintendo stuff to come out, but this MH thing's kind of wild. They don't even know if it's confirmed. They're like, oh, it's not real. It's not real. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
That's a rumor. NX, they say, won't even be a replacement for Wii U. They just said it's a new way of playing games. I don't know what that's really supposed to mean. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
I don't know if you guys have any
opinions to weigh in on that. I mean, it's news, so I had to say something, but yeah, it just really sucks that they're not saying anything about NX at E3, because I feel like, I mean, I guess if it's not ready, it's not ready, but it would have been a great time, especially since all this rumored hardware from Sony and even this confirmed stuff from Xbox are going to show off, so
yeah,
be the three titans battling it out with their hardware reveals. But yeah, you have any thoughts about that at all, Preston?
About the handheld?
Yeah.
No.
That's fine.
It's like, I just would like to see what it all is. I mean, it's all just like...
More rumors and crap.
Oh, I think it's... I've been looking for the Yamada dude.
Okay.
It might be... Stop it. What is this? Anything on mobile is just immediately stupid.
Mm. Well, some apps are good. I like the YouTube app on mobile.
Yoichi Yamada.
Okay.
Yoichi Yamada. He was the assistant director of A Link to the Past.
Okay.
Game director for Ocarina of Time.
Wow.
So, Yoichi.
He's a big deal then.
Yamada. What was it? Tatsumi Yamada?
Yeah.
I knew it was something.
Yamada. So you got it, Preston. Mission accomplished.
Mixed up, yeah.
Great work. You mentioned you want to play Far Harbor when they fix it, Preston. Well, yeah. Listen to this. This is pretty exciting. This is from our old friend Matt Porter of IGN. Quote, Fallout 4 expansion Far Harbor released last week and became Bethesda's largest ever piece of DLC. However, an upcoming fan project will be even bigger. According to VG247, Fallout Cascadia will be a mod which takes players to Seattle a few decades after the events of the main game. It has been in production for 6 months, and it is being made by a team of 18. More information about this project can be found on the mod's Tumblr page. The scale of this project is a... you okay over there? Oh, okay. The scale of this project is a land area that is just a bit smaller than Fallout 3, but more quests and locations than Fallout 4's Far Harbor DLC, reads the description. It will be a completely separate adventure from the main game, and you won't be able to visit the Commonwealth, so you'll need to create a new character. There are plans to release the mod on all platforms, however, the team currently can't guarantee it will work on consoles. There's no set release date yet, but it is made by volunteers who just work on it in their spare time, end quote.
Mm.
So, just another reason to buy a gaming PC, because that sounds really awesome to me.
Yeah,
there's games like, for example, I mean, I think Witcher 4 was fine for me on PS4, but even seeing it...
This guy. Witcher 3.
Sorry, what did I say? Witcher 4?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was thinking Fallout
did 4. Did the Order make it?
Yeah, the Order made Witcher 4. yeah, all these numbers and names are all getting jumbled in my head. But speaking of Fallout 4, like we even mentioned in our Let's Play, it was like, man, it's like... Part of me still wants to get a gaming PC because it'd be just fun to see this game like running fluidly, but hopefully they update it on PS4 where it's
Bethesda
smooth.
Needs to get it together. Mm-hmm. They're pissing me off.
I know you've mentioned that
they
many
are
times.
Pissing me off.
So it's going to be interesting to see too how all the mods, when they actually finally do come to PS4, how they're going to even affect the game.
I can't even play a piece of their DLC without it chugging, and I'm supposed to be downloading mods to the console now, and it's supposed to be running smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll see it when I believe it.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, I'll believe it when I see it.
That's funny. What did you say?
I said, what did I say?
I'll see it when I believe it.
I'll believe it when I guess both work.
Yeah, they
both work.
Okay. Whatever. Okay. I thought what I said was just made no sense at all. But
yeah, that's
all
right.
Whatever.
It's funny how you're, because I don't really care that much. It's whatever. But it's funny how you're your outlook on Bethesda has changed since the launch of Fallout 4.
I was literally, Bethesda could do no wrong.
Yeah.
They were, Todd Howard was my idol.
Uh-huh.
Like, I couldn't love them anymore. And the second that I started having game hiccups in the Boston area, I immediately never explored there anymore.
Yeah.
Because it aggravated me. Mm-hmm. And now the Far Harbor is having some problems. So I even told you, like, the day before Far Harbor came out, I was like, I would be so pumped for this if it just runs good.
Yeah.
That's literally all I told you. And the second I watch you play it, you hit the mist and it starts chugging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It offended me. From what I've heard, the only part it chugs is in the mist.
Yeah, but the mist covers like half the map.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay, because I haven't played it since the Let's Play.
Yeah.
I want to, but, you know.
It's like, after we're seeing Uncharted and then watching the new Witcher gameplay where they're coming out and saying like, hey, we're starting this from the ground up. The graphics are going to be better. It's going to be running better and stuff. And they're like, adding all of this new stuff, and it's just like amazing. Like you said, the reviews are amazing. It's going to be running even better than the main game was, and then Bethesda comes out and they just empty out Far Harbor and they're like, well, sorry, there's issues. And they give like a vague statement of like, we're investigating the issues. I'm like, what issues are you talking about? Are you specifically talking about PS4? Like, what are you talking about? And people are saying they didn't even address any of the issues that were in the beta of Far Harbor and stuff. So I'm like, what are they doing there?
Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
Maybe they're working on something new and it's like slowing them down or something.
It's like, I bought the season's pass for that. I've never bought a season's pass in my life.
Right.
But I did it for Fallout because I am such a Fallout fanboy and I love it so much. Mm-hmm. And I have like buyer's remorse right now because I can't even play the piece of content because it's not running well. I don't want to taint that experience of just, I mean, it's playable, but I don't want to play it like 15 frames per second. That's not fun to me. I'm not enjoying it. I'm not invested in the game if I'm like running around like I'm in slow motion.
I get that completely.
So, and then I don't want to hear the crap of, well, you should have got a gaming PC as well. No,
yeah.
It should work for what I bought it for, especially when The Witcher is working flawlessly. And I just finished Uncharted 4, which is arguably the greatest looking game of all time. And it runs at a solid 30 frames. So like, I had very, very few hiccups. Very few hiccups. And even they were done in like a second.
Yeah.
So there's no excuse for this very early 2010-ish looking game to be chugging around. Like it's
very bizarre.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like an engine thing they need to update.
Well, it's their freaking engine. They've been using it since the 30s,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
There's no lack of talent at that studio that I would think. But it's just, yeah, it's got to be the engine.
Yeah.
But no, it does suck. It's disappointing, but I definitely want to play that DLC. But by the time Witcher comes out,
I respect it so much, and I want to enjoy it so much. That's why I'm not playing it.
Right.
So,
yeah, I get that, and still no word from Bethesda regarding that situation.
They
literally
said they're working on fixes.
Okay,
as vague as that.
Wow. Well, so at least they said something.
Like I told you, when I got the first Witcher DLC, the Hearts of Stone, there was a glitch with the trophy where you had to go to these camps and kill these guys.
Yeah.
I did it like four times and the trophy wouldn't pop.
Yeah.
I got on Twitter and I like added them or whatever. It's tweeted at them.
Yeah.
And they respond in like 5 seconds.
CD Projekt Red?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were like, we're working on the fix. Thank you very much. Like, thanks for playing our game. We're going to fix this for you.
And it was a personal response to you, correct?
Yes. Next week, fixed. I literally loaded up the game, went to one of those camps and the trophy popped.
Yeah. That's amazing.
People are tweeting at Bethesda, why is the PS4 framey? Why is it framey? I didn't tweet at them because nobody was getting a response.
Yeah.
There's like,
well, maybe they know you're from It's Obvious Gaming. That's why they'd respond.
Yeah, probably.
I can't piss this guy off.
CD Projekt Red is spanking Bethesda. Bethesda was the king of
the RPG.
Open world RPGs.
Yeah.
And Witcher came in and pretty much, I mean, I love Fallout 4 to death, and I think Fallout 4 does things better than The Witcher, and I think The Witcher does things better than Fallout 4.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I said Fallout 4 was my game of the year and stuff. I still feel that way because I love the game of Fallout 4, but they're not alone anymore. Like, CD Projekt Red is regarded like on their level, if not higher than them. And because, I mean, The Witcher is a much more new experience, a much more next-gen game than Fallout 4 was, like, easily.
Yeah.
So Bethesda, they gotta like really think about all this now, and like their next Elder Scrolls game, I mean, that it's going to be compared to The Witcher, like, so
they definitely have an uphill battle, that's for sure.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting if they just stick to that same engine and hope for the best or what.
That's the thing, is like, if they just get their games to run well, like that's good enough for me, because right. it's like the, I mean, the story's not necessarily always there. I can't tell you anything about Skyrim's story. I don't remember anything of it, but it's just the world they have and just the fun of just exploring it and stuff. It's there. Like, I think exploring the world is funner in Bethesda's games than it was in Witcher games. Witcher has better combat, mm-hmm. A better story and stuff.
Graphically, it's beautiful.
Yes, way better.
Gorgeous.
But, I mean, I thought Skyrim was beautiful.
Yeah, I did too.
When it came out. So, I don't know. Bethesda needs to really, like, in terms of game performance on consoles, because I'm sure it runs fine on PC and stuff. And mm-hmm. I've heard it's fine on Xbox. But they've been screwing over Sony for a while. Like, Skyrim ran like crap on PS3, and I still don't even know if they fixed it completely.
Right. So, yeah, who knows?
Yeah. Anywho, sorry to go on my Bethesda
tangent. No, that's okay. It's actually a pretty... relevant topic as of recently, as far as games running well and stuff, especially when they're in the midst of all them talking about this new console yeah. hardware.
And I told you, I'm excited to get the Neo if Bethesda updates Fallout 4 to run better, but I shouldn't have to buy a new right. console for a game I'd already bought to run well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Hopefully they wouldn't use that as an excuse to not deal with it now, and rather than and yeah. then wait for Neo. So, yeah.
but that's the thing, is they still have to patch it.
Yeah.
Neo isn't automatically going to make the right. game run better. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it's very interesting times for Bethesda. I mean, that's the thing, the company, like the publisher Bethesda, mm-hmm. is putting out awesome stuff.
Yeah, like
Wolfenstein, Doom.
Freaking love Doom. Awesome.
But yeah, that stuff's awesome.
Bethesda Game Studios.
Yeah, Bethesda Game Studios.
And that's what I'm saying Bethesda, I'm referring to
right,
Bethesda
right.
Game Studios. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, hopefully, I mean, I don't imagine, I assume we won't see anything for our next Elder Scrolls from them anytime mm-hmm. soon, but hopefully in the meantime, they
probably, that's their thing, is they're just going to stay in a bubble. We probably won't hear about Elder Scrolls until it's about to release,
mm-hmm.
which I like, it's fine.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah. They're one of the few people that can actually do that, because I'm sure in the next 2 or 3 years there will probably be some fake sites popping up for Elder Scrolls 7, and all the hype's going to build up again just like it did yeah. for Fallout. So,
yeah. I feel it's funny too, because it also makes me sad, because we were so freaking pumped even before they announced the game for Fallout 4. But it'll never be like that again for Fallout 1, because Fallout 4 was a sequel to Fallout 3. And before Fallout 3 came out, I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
But after Fallout 3, the aftermath, that everyone's like, holy crap, I cannot wait to see what they do next with Fallout. And that's why we were so excited. But we've seen what they did next. And even if it even when it runs smoothly, it's great.
Yeah. I love Fallout 4. I don't want to like say I don't like Fallout 4, because I could still trudge through Far Harbor, and I'm sure I'd have a great time.
Right.
But I want it. I shouldn't be thinking about the game's performance when I play that game. I should mm-hmm. be thinking about the fun I'm having, the story, you mm-hmm. know, all the cool loot I'm finding and stuff. So I don't want to have to think about the game's performance when I'm playing it. It completely takes me out of it.
Totally.
And I had just a few of those moments in Fallout 4. But Fallout 4 is one of the few games where I'm like literally playing it, and I say aloud to myself, well, not literally, but in my head, I'm mm-hmm. like, this is
a lot
fun.
Of fun.
Like, yeah. I love this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Yeah. It's sad though, because when inevitably down the road one day, when Fallout 6, not 6, gosh, 5, Fallout 5 is announced or even being rumored, like I'll be excited, but it won't be the same feeling we had for the rumors of Fallout 4.
Yeah.
Just because that's just like we've seen what they could do next.
Yeah.
And even anticipating what they could possibly do coming off of the next Elder Scrolls, like I still feel like we know kind of what to expect now.
Yeah.
But whatever. But yeah, like you said, hopefully they make an update to Far Harbor for your sake. I'll probably eventually just trudge through it even if they don't update it, because I want to play it.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. Moving on from our good friend Joe Scrapples of IGN, quote, a supposed leak of Titanfall 2 information indicates that the shooter sequel will introduce grappling hooks and larger multiplayer maps, and also included concept art that will apparently be adapted as the game's cover art. Posted and subsequently deleted on the Titanfall subreddit, but preserved on NeoGAF, user I Love Google Glass said that the game will release in October, putting it alongside fellow EA shooter Battlefield 1. The most significant piece of gameplay information revolves around a new grappling hook item. Quote, they've added a ton of new pilot abilities, reads the post, including the addition of a grappling hook. My source said you can use it quite extensively for getting into your Titan, aiding free running, or tactical plays such as pulling enemies while they're in midair. I Love Google Glass also said that the multiplayer maps are bigger and that the game's pre-order bonus would be a handgun called the Violator. That's hilarious. What lends some credence to this post is that... that's how you pronounce it, right? Credence?
Sure, I think. I couldn't even say Catalyst.
Is this Credence? Or credence. I know I've heard that word, but I'm blanking right now. Credence? Okay.
Like giving credit to the post, I guess?
I would assume so, yeah. What lends some credence to this post is that the left side of the alleged poster, which we can't obviously show in this video or podcast, the alleged poster appears to match the blurred image used on Titanfall 2's website, which also was posted on Twitter. That same left side of the poster will be the box art, according to the post. Titanfall 2 abandons the first game's Xbox One console exclusivity and will include a single-player campaign mode. The game will receive a worldwide announcement on June 12th, presumably at the EA Play events taking place in London and LA, end quote. All of that sounds really cool.
I'm excited. I really enjoyed Titanfall.
Yeah.
And I'm most excited about the single player, because I think the last single player experience that like Vince Zampella and the guys that left Infinity Ward to restart respawn with, I think, was Modern Warfare 2's campaign, mm-hmm. which is freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see, you know, something single player that they've done. But so yeah, I'm more excited about just having single player and being on PlayStation. So I can get some trophies.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that too. And just gameplay wise and mechanic wise, I think the grappling hook sounds really cool, especially to go along with the parkour, not only aiding with parkour and stuff, but the fact that you could pull someone out of midair sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So I think grappling hooks in any game are fun. Like, I loved the rope grappling hook in Uncharted. I thought that was a ton of fun. Yeah. Speaking of that grappling hook, did you guys see the little video on IGN of the guy that did the rope swing sniper shot?
We literally like just watched that.
Yeah, I was like, man, that was pretty cool.
It'll probably look like Samus's beam grapple,
where you kind of like Metroid. Shoot it out,
and like swing from it. So.
Yeah, sounds pretty cool. Jacob, you're excited for Lego Star Wars: The Force Awakens, correct?
Sure.
Yeah. Are you excited, Preston, at all?
No.
Okay, I'm very excited. One, because I love Star Wars, and two, this will be the first Lego game I played in a while. I think it'll be great for Let's Plays, or just even playing for fun co-op would be really cool. But I wanted to detail the DLC that they announced, because I think it actually sounds really exciting. You ready for this?
Sure.
This is from Brittany Vincent of Engadget. Quote, Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens is coming to a galaxy near you this June, and it's bringing a bevy? B-E-V-Y? That's one word I have not heard. My vocabulary needs an upgrade.
Bevy is a word.
Yeah, I've heard that
word. I haven't heard that word before.
Yeah.
Maybe I've heard it in conversation, but I haven't read that word with my own eyes before.
Did you proofread this?
I don't have time to proofread this at all. It's bringing a bevy of downloadable content with it accessible via Season Pass. That's really weird. It literally just says continued contents just in the middle of this sentence that has nothing to do with this other stuff. The Season Pass itself will come packing 3 brand new level packs to further extend the LEGO Star Wars The Force Awakens story with situations not seen in the movie. These packs include Poe's quest for survival following Poe Dameron's treacherous journey back to the Resistance base after escaping the First Order. Additionally, the First Order siege takedown of Tokadana and escape from Starkiller base level packs offer additional interactions between characters like Kylo Ren, Rey, BB-8, and a swath of vehicles to maneuver with. Struss Clan speeders, Jakku freighters, assault walkers, and Jedi interceptors are available for starters, if you needed yet another reason to get excited. One thing she doesn't mention that I read in another article is that when you do the attack on Maz Kanata's castle, you play from Kylo Ren's perspective during that whole part, which I thought sounded pretty cool.
That's cool, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. The Season Pass doesn't just include level packs, however. The Jedi prequel trilogy, Freemaker Adventures, Star Wars Rebels, and Clone Wars character packs add favorites like Aleia Secura, Anakin Skywalker, Darth Maul, Jango Fett, and Ahsoka Tano. The Jedi character pack is a Season Pass exclusive and will be available beginning June 28th. LEGO Star Wars The Force Awakens releases for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita, I didn't know that, that's cool, Xbox One, Xbox 360, Wii U, Nintendo 3DS, and PC on June 28th.
Wow.
So, all that DLC sounds really cool, and you know it's even cooler. Unless this is a typo, I read another article that the Season Pass is only $10. And each individual pack is only $3
each. There's no way.
That's what it said. That's what I read that. I swear on my life. We should look it up just in case.
Please do.
But I did read that. Hold on. You guys talk about Star Wars or something when I look this up.
What do you want to know about Star Wars? I know everything.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I know everything, so I'm basically...
I do too.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything.
What was the year that the first Starkiller House was built on
Starkiller House.
Yeah, on planet Groknik.
It was the year Gryffindor, and it was made in
that's not canon. That's the extra
stuff.
Oh, yeah,
stuff. Yeah, that's,
yeah.
Okay.
Bring it in.
Well, it's not canon.
When Kylo Ren met Harry Potter for the first time, what was their first line of dialogue to each other?
Canon or not canon?
Canon. I don't talk about this non-canon fan fiction crap.
I'm a big
Jacob.
Fan of the non-canon.
Yeah. Your erotic Harry Potter Kylo Ren fan fiction.
Whoa. It's Overwatch.
That's what you get off
yes.
to? Okay. I'm all about the Harry Potter crossover.
Yeah, here it is. The LEGO Star Wars Force Awakens Season Pass will retail for $10 or $9.99 across all supported platforms. And it says each DLC pack can be purchased individually for $2.99 each. That's amazing. I'm wow. totally getting the Season Pass.
What's the point of using all these characters, though?
For fun, purely for fun, I think. Okay. It's like, oh, I love this character from Star Wars Rebels. I want to use him.
Like, how cool would it be if it was like a Jedi Outcast or something where you could play online with these different characters and fight each other?
That'd be really fun.
That'd be kind of cool.
Not in LEGO Star Wars.
I know.
It'd be like goofy yeah, I mean, fun.
Yeah, yeah, for like...
It'd be cool, like, at the same time,
wow,
all this stuff
was
wasn't
a really
LEGO,
fun 30 seconds.
Yeah. Imagine, like, playing Battlefront, but, like, as the LEGO versions of all the characters with, like, LEGO vehicles and stuff. I think yeah. that'd be so fun.
I guess technically you could fight each other in the map.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited about that personally. That comes out June 28th, so I'm pumped.
About another month.
Cool. Yeah.
Let's see what we got here.
Actually, I think it's exactly a month from today.
Oh, yeah, you're right. What's today?
28th.
Yeah. As of recording this, yeah, the 28th. So, yeah, 30 days away from LEGO Star Wars Force Awakens. This actually sounded really cool to me. I know we don't play GTA Online, but I wanted to mention mm-hmm. this because this made me want to play it again.
I heard
cool.
about this, but I didn't know the details.
Okay, cool. This is from Daniel Krupa of IGN. Quote, Rockstar has announced further adventures in Finance and Felony, one of GTA Online's most significant updates, which will arrive on June 7th. Further adventures in Finance and Felony is, according to an update on Rockstar's Newswire, one of the biggest and deepest updates to GTA Online yet. Featuring all new gameplay and a range of special new vehicles, including the Pegasi Reaper. It kind of looks like a Ferrari in the picture. The expansion allows players to become the CEO of their own criminal enterprise. This will entail buying and selling a range of contraband across the great city of Los Santos, while also having to fight off fierce competition from the rest of the criminal underworld, and, of course, avoid attention from the LSPD. Players will oversee their criminal hierarchy from a new HQ located in a high-rise building, while the business itself will utilize special warehouses across the city. The expansion promises the biggest profits and rarest items in GTA Online. GTA Online has been updated regularly since its initial release alongside Grand Theft Auto V in 2013. A trailer for the latest expansion is due out next week. End quote.
Nice.
So I thought that sounded really cool. It kind of gave me a Heisenberg feeling from Breaking Bad. Have your own criminal enterprise that you kind of run from your HQ in this high-rise building. It sounded pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I thought that sounded fun. I know it's funny when we first started this YouTube channel, we were like, man, maybe we should do some GTA Online Let's Plays because we always had so much fun doing the races and we always laughed at everything we did. We still haven't done it, but
no.
I might for fun give this a shot because I think GTA 5 is still a phenomenal game.
I would
game.
Be more inclined to come back if there was some single player DLC.
I was thinking too. I would like to do this more, I think, in single player than online, personally.
Yeah.
But that is cool that they're doing that, especially after
they're
all
this time.
They're
definitely keeping it updated for sure. I mean,
it makes sense that game's still selling.
Yeah, like it just broke
we
like
read
65 million
yeah,
copies or
65
something.
Million. That's insane.
I think I heard that it was like the second fastest sell or the second best-selling game of all time behind Minecraft.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's nuts. My goodness.
I think Minecraft's like at 73 or 75 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's catching
so,
up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at them go. Did you guys see the Ghost Recon Wildlands trailer?
Yes.
Yes.
What'd you think?
Looks so cool.
I think it looks pretty cool.
Looks okay. cool. Yeah.
I want to see it in action. We've only seen trailers so far, but I am very intrigued by it.
If it's a full co-op, open world, stealthy,
that's what it says.
Options, yeah, I'm all in for that.
I think we would have a ton of fun with that.
Yeah.
I'm mostly interested just because it's very different as from what all the other Ghost Recon stuff we've seen.
Yeah.
It's different from all that. So the fact that it's open world, like you said, co-op, and you can be stealthy and all these different vehicles and all these different weapons and blah, 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 blah. And this big open world that looks pretty from the looks of it. I'm excited to hear more, and mostly a demo is what I'd like to see.
Yeah. But, yeah. I'm sure this E3 will see something at Ubisoft's conference.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Do you guys see the...
Hopefully along with a new Splinter Cell.
You and me both. We'll hope and pray for that.
Dream
but
on, man.
We may be put in the ground before it happens.
I know.
So, makes me sad.
I know.
Yeah, we'll hope for the very best regarding Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
Do you guys see the Dragon Ball Fusions trailer?
Nope. No, I saw a Xenoverse 2 trailer. That okay. was it.
Yeah, the Fusions trailer was a handheld game coming, and it actually looked kind of cute and fun. It's like all Dragon Ball Z characters, like a miniaturized version of them with big heads, which sounds ridiculous. But the main draw, which is actually kind of funny and entertaining, it was all in Japanese and it's like hilarious. The trailer was like 5 minutes long. It was like this Japanese guy yelling at the screen the whole time. Anyway, it looked fun because and interesting just because the whole point of the game is called Dragon Ball Fusion is because you can fuse any characters you want together. Like they fused Krillin and Goku one time and it looked hilarious. You can fuse like Piccolo and Boo and stuff. I think you can fuse anyone together. So, and it looked like a, I think it was a turn-based system with the combat in this one, which is interesting. Yeah. So that's just my initial impressions from remembering what I saw in the trailer, but I thought it was funny.
I'd be interested in that. What's it for? Is it for my Vita?
I can't remember. I think they might have said Nintendo. I don't know if it was Nintendo. Maybe
if it's for my Vita, I'm all on that.
Yeah, it sounded pretty. It looked kind of interesting to me. So yeah. That, and obviously, as we know, Xenoverse 2 is coming. So Dragon Ball Z is upon our horizon as well. That'll look kind of cool. Did you guys see the trailer for Absolver?
I don't even know what that is.
I saw the trailer.
You did? What'd you think?
I thought it looked interesting. It's not really something I would be into.
Is it a game?
It is, yeah.
Absolver.
Absolver.
Can I guess what it is?
Sure.
I have a description. I'll read
it to
you
after. Give me
the genre.
I'm going to tell you what it is.
I would assume you would title it as an action game.
It's an action game?
Okay.
Who's developing it?
Devolver Digital.
Oh, Devolver.
Yep.
I know them.
Yep.
They made...
Hotline Miami.
Yeah.
And other stuff.
Okay. Is it a top-down game?
No,
it's nothing like Hotline Miami.
No.
Whatever.
Okay.
Just continue.
I'll read the description. Here we go. This is Absolver. In the ruins of the fallen Adal Empire, you awaken with a mysterious mask on your face and faint recollections of an historic ceremony, freeing you from hunger, thirst, and even death. The mask is the creation of the guides, the rulers of these lands who have placed you here to determine whether you are worthy of becoming part of the elite corps of Absolvers. As you wander these forsaken lands, encountering other prospects like you, you will learn new combat styles, acquire weapons, gear, and armor, and build a team of warriors with whom to fight alongside in the arenas of combat. Now,
I was going to say it was like a workout video.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So
it's way off.
Yeah, that's a good description, but gameplay-wise, they advertise it as like very strategic sword combat. Like a lot of it was one-on-one. Like I think,
really?
If I'm not mistaken, I got the impression that it's all online. Like you got your guy wakes up, kind of like in Dark Souls, you wake up and you're like, what the heck? You have this mask and this weapon. You have like these.
What? What's that game by Ubisoft that's coming out where it's that?
For Honor.
Yeah. It's kind of like For Honor.
It kind of looked like that, just not on as big of a scale. Yeah. It looked kind of like more condensed, like he was running through these caves and like this guy shows up like, holy crap, we have to fight to the death. And it looked like very strategic one-on-one combat. Like it wasn't just hack and slash. It was like kind of like, I don't want to spoil it. Spoiler alert, I'm going to give you about 5 seconds. So let's do the
I know what
I'm
you're already even saying.
It's kind of like that.
Okay.
It's kind of fighting like that, but it isn't necessarily quick timey or anything. It's just, it looked interesting and like the art style was very cool. And at one point it showed like 5 or 6 guys all fighting each other together. I'm like, that's kind of cool. So I like how they're saying, like, you're all these guys competing to become an Absolver in this core of Absolvers, and you're all just kind of on your own, and you can team up with warriors and gain loot and weapons and blah, blah, blah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounded really cool, and it's definitely different from stuff that we've seen from them, at least as far as I know. And I was very intrigued by the trailer, and I'm sure we're all in the same boat here. I love seeing new IP revealed that looks really cool and interesting. So I'm definitely excited to hear more about that. I'd like to see it in action and hear them actually talk about the game because it looked very interesting and cool. But yeah, that's about it for gaming news. It's a couple extra little details that I like to include at the end of every month. We have the rumored PS Plus games for June, the free games, and we also have the games for Gold and Xbox. But the rumored ones for PS4...
These are rumored?
They're rumored right now. Okay. I'm assuming they'll be announced very soon, but rumored is NBA 2K16 and Gone Home so far.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, I would download 2K16 for free.
Yeah. I will download Gone Home to just get all the trophies in it.
Right.
Because it'll take like 10 minutes.
Jacob and I did that Let's Play. I was like, I need to finish this. And then Casey like spoiled the ending for me.
That was
like,
a terrible Let's Play. Was it dark on the video? Because when we were playing, it was
It
so
wasn't dark,
dark
in the video, but we had so much bright light on us.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that was when we had our display like up higher. Because I wanted to eliminate the perspective like we were looking at the floor one time. Or looking at the floor all the time. And after a while, I was like, well, that's just annoying.
It's probably
so
just a
cares?
Terrible video because like I'm running into walls the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time we're like, I can't see where we're going. That was hilarious. But I don't think I'll ever actually finish that game because I know how it ends. I recognize it as being very good. And I enjoyed what we played, but I probably won't finish it. But that's cool that it's free. And NBA 2K16, I'm a huge basketball fan myself. Haven't physically played basketball in a long time, but I enjoyed the demos we played of like the 2K games. And 2K makes great sports games. So I'm excited to download that for free if that's the case. But yeah, games for gold in June. Xbox Goat Simulator, which just sounds interesting
to me. I'll download that.
Yeah. Ever seen someone play it?
I have, yeah. It looks amazing. The Crew. Super Meat Boy.
The crew.
Yeah.
It's a free game?
Yeah. I'll give it a shot if it's free.
Yeah.
Super Meat Boy.
I was in the beta.
It's terrible. Yeah. I've seen that it's terrible.
They just got 5 million people players, I think.
Yeah, I read that.
Right,
I don't know how people are
still I don't know currently, but I think they amounted 5 million players.
I'd be surprised if anyone is still playing that.
Super Meat Boy, we did a Let's Play of. That was hilarious. That's good times. Game. XCOM Enemy Unknown as well.
Good game.
I've heard it's good.
Came to Vita.
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give it a little gander. Of course, I don't have time to play my Vita at all anymore. Mm. Arguably, I'm going to take that back. I do, because on Sundays, I'm trapped at the church for 12 hours or more, because I don't want to come all the way back home and go all the way back up. Go all the way back there is terrible because of the traffic. And I usually play PS4 or take a nap in between that time, but arguably, I could play my Vita during that time. Maybe I should.
You won't.
I won't.
You'll never play that game.
I probably won't.
No.
So, we'll see. Of course, if it's free on Xbox, maybe I will. But I don't know. No. I might just do it to prove you wrong. I might play the first part of the game and be like, I've played it.
That'll show them.
But yeah, that was it for gaming news. Pretty exciting. There's only a little bit of movie news. I wanted to mention Jacob and I saw X-Men last night.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do a little mini review without spoiling anything, Jacob?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, because I might go see that tonight. So
okay, well,
either sell me on it or tell me not to go.
I would say play it safe and see that before Popstar, because you're saying you might see Popstar. Because X-Men, I feel bad for saying this, but every time an X-Men movie comes out, I'm like not that excited.
Yeah.
And it's funny, because whenever I see the X-Men movies, I'm like, wow, that was pretty good. I enjoyed that. Yeah. I'm never blown away by them, and I was like, wow, I like that. Because I'm not a huge X-Men fan, but I enjoy the movies. And what was it? First Class was good. I liked it. Days of Future Past was very entertaining.
First Class
was good. It actually had a lot of callbacks to that one and this one, if you noticed.
I did.
Yeah. All the flashbacky stuff you saw was all from First Class.
Okay.
Well, I just looked up reviews for Popstar, and the first one was 1 out of 10, worst film ever.
Jeez.
I've heard that it was good from some people, though.
It's funny because, this guy in front of us in the theater, he was, freaking out through the whole movie.
Yeah, this one guy was the biggest X-Men fan I've ever seen.
Really?
He was, cheering and hollering the whole time.
I won't go see Bob Stryker. I'll go see this.
But I was very entertained by it throughout the entire thing. All the characters were very interesting and fun characters, all their interactions with each other. And surprisingly, I don't know why I say surprisingly, but I wasn't expecting that. I'll say unexpectedly, Magneto's arc in this movie was, awesome. It blew my mind how good it was. Michael Fassbender just continues to astound me, and no matter what he's in.
I enjoyed the main villain, too. He's pretty
good. Yeah, Apocalypse was good. I liked him.
I like that part where he's, holding the dude, and then he gets bigger. Uh-huh. And I thought that part of the trailer
That's
was
a really cool,
cool
part in the movie, too. Yeah. So I was thoroughly entertained by the whole movie, and like I said, I think Magneto's arc in the movie was my favorite part of it. Just seeing him from start to finish was really cool.
Yeah.
And I've never been intrigued by, his powers, per se, but the way they've done it in these movies is really cool. Not just his powers, but just what his character goes through. Specifically in this movie, I was like, man, that's intense. It was really cool. Nightcrawler, again, appeared in this movie. Nightcrawler is one of my personal favorite X-Men, because my favorite superpower has always been teleportation. I think that's really cool. Nightcrawler was excellent.
Yeah.
I really like the guy who they had play the young Cyclops, because that kid
he was good.
He's getting big very fast. It's funny because I've seen him in indie movies that are when he was very little, a little kid. And I've just seen him in more and more and more stuff as time has gone on. And the fact that he's made this is probably his first really big debut in this X-Men movie. And I thought he did a really great job as Cyclops.
How's J-Law?
J-Law. Oh, she was fine. It's funny because I feel bad for saying this, but I've never been blown away by Jennifer Lawrence. Not to say she's a bad actor or not talented. I just, personally, I've never been that excited
about her
stuff.
Is she at the forefront of this movie?
Kind of.
And now, that's what I never understood. I don't know a lot about X-Men, but Mystique, from what I've seen, has never been a main character.
Right.
She's always just been at the side of Magneto.
Yeah. Well, she's not I don't know if she's a main character. She's she plays an important role in this film.
I mean, in all the trailers, she's let's get together and she's prepping them up. She's the leader.
I guess she kind of is.
I think in this series, she is purely because
she's Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I've always.
So, and she's also portrayed as a hero, even though the whole movie she's I'm not a hero, but she's technically a good guy. throughout the entire
I wonder
series.
If they'll have her turn eventually then, because she's got to be with Magneto. That's like
from what
thing.
I've read, her contract with the X-Men movies just ended, and I'd be surprised if she came back, because obviously she's done the Hunger Games thing, she's done the X-Men thing, she's done all the mainstream stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if she wanted to do something different now.
Yeah.
Not that I really care, but she, that's the thing. Like, when I saw the trailers, like, I always thought it was kind of goofy when in the trailer she was like, "You're no longer students. You're X-Men." I always thought that was, like, really funny when she said that. And in the movie, it was still kind of funny, but throughout the movie, I was actually surprised. Like, I felt bad for, like, judging her performance before even seeing it, because she actually was, like, good in the movie, I thought. Like, I didn't think she was silly or dumb the entire movie. And, well, what else was cool about it?
Was Deadpool in this?
No, he was not.
He was not.
It would have been cool if he was.
I know. What'd you think about? There was like a little cameo.
What'd you think about? Was it Sophia Turner?
Yeah, the girl from Game of Thrones, Sansa.
Yeah,
Sansa. Yeah, the girl who plays Sansa. She actually, I thought she was excellent as what's her name?
Jean Grey.
Jean Grey. Yeah. Yeah. She had a solid performance.
Did
as
she
well.
Go like? Turn into the Phoenix in this?
She kind of does at the end. Nice. It's not really a spoiler. You can kind of see it. Well, you can see it in the trailer. Yeah, she like does this crazy thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was cool in the movie too. And I really like, I think it's James McAvoy plays Professor X. He's been great as Professor
He's
X in all
guy,
these
yeah.
movies. And he was like, it's funny. It's cool too, because, you know, like the older Professor X we've seen in the original X movies is kind of like the very mature, always mostly serious professor. He's always like very happy and like smiling at everyone, but this younger version is like the more outgoing, lashes out kind of, he doesn't really care about what people think and stuff. He's just, he says a lot of, he's very entertaining in these movies, and he was good. And, I like him a lot as an actor. But, Oscar Isaac, as we said, was cool as Apocalypse. Definitely a very threatening villain. He had some pretty intense, disturbing powers in the movie. And, I liked how his character, like, his motives made sense to me. He just kind of wanted to wipe out humanity and start afresh, because he considers himself to be like the god of the universe. He, like, all these other X-Men and all these other humans and stuff, he's like, I'm not gonna have this, we're starting fresh. So, and Psylocke, Olivia Munn, mm-hmm. she was cool, like, her powers were cool, but I think she had like 4 lines in the entire movie.
Really?
I hate her character.
And I'm not gonna spoil it, but like the how they wrap up her character into the movie was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, it was so stupid. Did you hear that music too?
It's hilarious. But I mean, it wasn't bad by any means. Like, she her shot of the movie is in the trailer where she like does the flip and slices the car in half. That was cool. But other than that, she didn't really have that much of an impact. I felt like
she's
on the story.
Been like
promoting the crap
promoting
out of it.
It and stuff.
It's probably because this is like her first like big movie. I mean, I know she's been in movies.
Yeah, but
before.
She's been on like talk shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. For her to be in it for not a lot, like y'all are saying.
Right. But yeah, I mean, she's in the movie plenty, but she only says like 3 or 4 things the entire time. The actress who played Young Storm, I thought was cool. She did a good job. Who else is in it that we're forgetting?
What was that?
Was there some romance between
Angel?
Scott and Jean?
There was, yeah. There was? They hint at that a lot, and it was good. Angel, I thought, was pretty cool. I liked
his name's Angel.
Yeah, well, the superhero's name is Angel.
Yeah,
that's really funny.
It's cool because I don't want to spoil it, because there's like a really cool fight.
You ever saw an X-Men, the third one, The Last Stand, where he's like in the bathroom, like with the file, like trying to
I don't know.
Chop his wings off?
Yeah.
Actually, I think I did, yeah. I don't know. These movies all blend together.
I know. I was just talking to him before we even started the podcast about this movie. Like, is this in the same timeline?
Yeah.
Like, I'm so confused with all these X-Men
movies.
That's
kind of, I've read that it's just kind of like a blend of the two. Like, roughly, some of it is and some of it isn't.
Was like, is this a continuation of First Class?
Yeah, First Class through Days of Future Past all the way till now is all like a trilogy.
Okay, so after The Last Stand... Done.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this Wolverine isn't that same Wolverine, even though it's still Hugh Jackman.
Technically, it is, yes. Because I was getting to that. Wolverine, this isn't a spoiler, you can see his claws in the trailer.
Yeah.
He has a cameo in the movie, and that whole cameo is sort of a spin-off of what happens to him in X-Men 2. So I think they've kind of like taken the same storylines from the older movies and kind of blended them, like kind of retold them in this prequel
is
series.
Not
done this so horribly.
Huh?
I hate what they're doing with all this.
What?
It's just a mess. They're trying to blend all this crap.
Well, that's what's funny is that technically, like story-wise, it's sort of all over the place, but I'm always like very impressed by the movies. Like I thought, I was thoroughly entertained by the whole movie.
I feel like they should have just been like, all right, we're starting over. Just like...
Mm-hmm.
Starting over, because then Days of Future Past confused me because they were going back in time and stuff.
Yeah,
And now are they still back in time?
No. They're no. This is okay. So Days of Future Past, X or not X Men, Wolverine. You remember at the beginning of the movie, he's in the future. His consciousness gets sent back to himself in the past in the 70s.
Yeah.
Everything that happens in Days of Future, pretend the future stuff, you don't see it at all in Days of Future Past. It's all the 70s. All the events that transpire in the 70s. Remember, like, Peter Dinklage and Quicksilver, and all them. The big robots.
Yeah.
All of that happens. Yeah. At the end of the movie, you'll remember Peter Dinklage, they take him down, the robots get taken down. Yeah. Magneto, like, is threatening to kill everyone. It's like, blah, 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 blah. And he's, like, at the field. He's about to kill the president, and Mystique talks him out of it, I think. And he goes away. Everyone just kind of, like, except for Professor X and, like, his group of X-Men, everyone just kind of disperses at the end of that movie. Like, Mystique goes off somewhere. Remember, Wolverine, he gets, like, captured because he gets all the metal put in him from Magneto. Yeah. And Stryker brings him out of that lake in DC, and Stryker's like, take him back to my facility. That's how Wolverine gets taken off to Stryker's facility at the end of Days of Future Past. Magneto escapes somewhere, and then Professor X just takes his students back to the mansion. 10 years later is when Apocalypse happens. This is in the 80s. Now, starts off, I don't want to spoil anything, but it starts off with Mystique hunting down various X-Men that she knows of, trying to protect them and bring them into a safe haven for random mutants around the world, is what she's up to. And so that's what she's doing. Professor X and his students, the school's running well, like it's kind of an established school now. And Cyclops is a student in class, and he like realizes he has these powers and is freaking out. And his brother is Havoc. If you remember from first class, you remember who Havoc was? He's like had long blonde hair.
Yeah.
And he like shoots the laser beam out of his chest.
Yes.
That's Cyclops' brother. So Havoc's like, oh, looks like you have powers too. Come to my school. It's a good place. So that's how Cyclops ends up there. And that's where he meets Jean Grey and all that. So this movie takes place just 10 years after the events of Days of Future Past. And I've already heard rumors. I've heard multiple rumors. I've heard either one that there's rumors floating around that Fox is going to try to sign a deal with Marvel Cinematic Studios to bring the X-Men to those movies.
Oh my gosh.
I'll be amazed if that happens, but there's another rumor floating around. Maybe it's confirmed. I'm all confused by all of it. There's another rumor saying that the next X-Men movie will be in the 90s now, 10 years after the one we just saw. So I don't know, but even though all of it's very confusing still, my simple non-spoiler review of X-Men Apocalypse was, if you enjoyed First Class or Days of Future Past, or if you're even a fan of X-Men at all, and you haven't already seen it, I suggest seeing it. Because me personally, I wasn't on edge. I didn't think it was going to be bad, but I wasn't like pumped like I was for Captain America or Batman v Superman. I was like, oh, well, X-Men are cool. I'll go see it. I was thoroughly entertained. And I think the reason why I enjoyed it so much is because I wasn't expecting much from it.
Yeah.
And like I said, Magneto was my favorite part of the movie. I was like blown away at how good that was. So yeah, it was great. Thoroughly entertained. You have anything else to add to that, Jacob?
No. I need to go here pretty soon, so.
Do you? I actually have to leave in about 15 minutes, too, so wrapping it up. This will be quick. This actually, the reason why I did the X-Men review real quick was because Wolverine 3's villains have been rumored for that movie. That sounds pretty cool.
Mm.
Stick with me. This is from Nicole Carpenter by IGN. Quote, Hugh Jackman will face off against an original villain played by Boyd Holbrook in his final Wolverine film, but Holbrook's character isn't the only bad guy, according to a new report. A group of criminal cyborgs called the Reavers will reportedly appear in Wolverine 3, a source close to the film's production has told Nerdist. Assembled under the leadership of major X-Men bad guy Donald Pierce in the comics, the Reavers are programmed to eliminate mutants. Jekyll and Hyde actor Richard E. Grant is said to be playing a mad scientist in Wolverine 3. His role has mostly been kept secret, but Nerdist is speculating he could be playing Pierce. Most information on Holbrook's Wolverine 3 character, besides being chief of a security for a global corporation, is unknown. It is also rumored to be, it's also been rumored Fear the Walking Dead actress Elizabeth Rodriguez could appear in the film in a small but key role. Producer Simon Kinberg confirmed in early May that Wolverine 3 will be rated R. The producer also said the film would feature a very radical, bold, different Wolverine than you've ever seen in any of the movies. It is likely that the film will be set in the future and feature some variation on the Old Man Logan version of the famed X-Man. Wolverine 3 is expected to hit theaters on March 3rd, 2017. If it's anything like, this is very random, but you remember the X-Men Origins Wolverine game, not the movie. Forget the movie, but the game was surprisingly very fun and violent.
Yeah,
and I remember there were cutscenes in that game where it showed Wolverine in the future when we like had like gray hair and there was like robots that had taken over the world. I wonder if this will be kind of similar to that. Like if they do the Old Man Logan route, maybe that's when they say like you will see a very different, bold take on Wolverine you've never seen. I'm wondering if that's a combination of one, it being rated R, and two,
I'm sure they're just talking about in the movies.
Well, yeah, I know, but that I'm wondering if that will play a role in like they can just. express his character in different ways now as rated R.
Like, I mean, I'm sure they can be more true to who he actually is now with that, without a PG-13 or, you know, thing. So, you know, without a PG-13 rating restricting them back.
That and also the old man Logan thing, because you got to think, like, I guess them saying, like, a very different bold Wolverine, that could be in a, like, in slight ways or very drastic ways. I'm, like, I'm wondering, like, if they're, like, oh, Wolverine's just older. That's the only bold difference. Like, his appearance is different. I'm wondering if it'll be more than just his appearance and the R rating. I'm wondering if, like, he'll, like, I don't have, like, a slightly different personality, like you were saying. I don't know.
I don't know.
But it sounds cool. I would like to see the Old Man Logan stuff because I thought it was cool. I mean, the only thing I've seen, like, pictures of Old Man Logan from comics and stuff, and it's intriguing to me. But specifically the X-Men Origins Wolverine game where it shows him in the future, like, taking on these, like, soldiers and robots and stuff looked pretty cool to me.
Yeah.
So still kind of vague, but I'm excited to see more from that. And Jacob and I were actually talking on the way to X-Men. Like, we have no doubt that currently, you know, Deadpool is the highest grossing R-rated film of all time. I'm convinced that Wolverine 3 will be bigger than that. Because people have been waiting to see Wolverine R-rated for a while.
Yeah.
And cool thing, this is also not a spoiler, his cameo in the movie, I think they went as close as they could with making it R-rated before it was R-rated. And this to give you a taste of what's to come.
Nice.
I was actually surprised at how much they did with Wolverine's cameo.
Yeah, nice. He was good.
So yeah, it was cool. But that's it for X-Men stuff. But last bit of news, boys. I'm excited about this. This is awesome. This is from Alex Osborne of IGN. Quote, from September onwards, Netflix will become the exclusive U.S. pay TV home of the latest films from Disney, Marvel, Lucasfilm, and Pixar. Sarandos also confirmed that the new Netflix original movies are on the way, including a comedy called Mascots from Christopher Guest, Best in Show, A Mighty... or he directed Best in Show and A Mighty Wind, as well as director David Michaud's War Machine, a military-minded film starring Brad Pitt. Ooh. So Disney's exclusivity with Netflix begins in September. All their, like you said, Marvel, Lucasfilm, and Pixar all coming to Netflix. Imagine just getting on Netflix. Oh, Force Awakens is on here, even though we already have it on Blu-ray. Cool, we can watch it. Yeah. All the Pixar stuff, Lucasfilm stuff, Marvel. All the, imagine literally having an entire catalog of Marvel movies to
watch. I'm excited for the Pixar stuff.
Me too. Yeah, I'm really pumped about that. I thought that was really exciting because I'm an avid Netflix user. I watch a lot of stuff on Netflix, so that's pretty cool. But last bit of news. Real simple stuff. You should probably have read this by now, but the dead Robin in Batman v Superman was confirmed to be Jason Todd. So that's
or
that.
Is he dead?
Yeah, or is he dead?
Yeah.
And it made me sad because, you know, they mentioned, like, oh, Batman's new movie will have all of his villains in it. It's going to be crazy. Whoa!
Yeah.
But maybe they will or will not include anything at all to do with Jason Todd. Like, maybe, for example, they'll take the Red Hood story arc and blend it into an original Batman story in a way, which could be
kind of like the Arkham Knight did.
Right, yeah. Maybe they'll do something like that. We'll see. But I thought that was cool, I guess. We all kind of assumed it was Jason Todd.
Yeah.
It'd be weird if it was like, oh, that was not actually Robin. It was someone else we made up.
It has to be. Jared Leto has to be Jason Todd.
I would love that
so much. I
still
feel like
that
has to be it.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes too much sense.
Oh, it'd be so gnarly. It'd be so cool. We'll see. Apparently, Lionsgate has said if Power Rangers is successful, they're hoping to make close to 6 or 7 more Power Rangers movies.
Hmm.
Which, I'm going to be honest, doesn't surprise me because think about Transformers. They're working on the 5th Transformers movie, which is confirmed to be titled The Last Night, which sounds really cool. And I'm going to be completely honest, Jacob and I discussed this last night as well. As much as people hate the Transformers movies, I am always so entertained by them. They're just goofy and action-packed and fun to me. Like, I don't really need, like, a crazy good story. It's like, as long as the robots have cool action and they have fun characters in it, I was, like, Mark Wahlberg, even though it was silly that he's like, I'm an inventor, I live in Texas. That was funny, but it was entertaining and goofy to me in a good way. So I'm still excited about the Transformers movies, even with the 5th one coming out. I know people are like, why on earth are they still doing this?
Yeah.
But I can see why, like, when you watch the success of Transformers, those are, like, goofy, just fun movies that continue to make money, probably for those reasons. I can see Power Rangers 1 having a huge fan base, at least making it to 3 or 4 movies, because the first one, even if it totally sucks, is going to make money just because it's Power Rangers, and people are interested to see the new take on them. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if they made close to that many movies, because Transformers, after all this time, is still trudging along and they're still making money. So, and the reason why I make the Transformers comparison is because I'm assuming the Megazords and the Power Rangers movies are going to be similar to, like, the animation we see of the Transformers in live action, which would be cool. Like, I can already imagine in my head how cool it would be with the Power Rangers theme playing behind it, but we'll see. I thought it was interesting. Lastly, we mentioned this last week, Tom Hiddleston, apparently is rumored to be in talks to play Bond.
That's exciting.
Which is pretty cool. He was, like I said, he wasn't my first pick, but I wouldn't be disappointed with Hiddleston. I think he's a great actor.
I like him as an actor. In that role.
Now, speaking of that, this is hilarious. I don't know why this is, if this is even slightly true, if it's even in consideration, but apparently Jamie Bell, who's the actor from The Turn TV show, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. He was also in Jumper, and he was also in... the most recent Fantastic Four. He played Ben Grimm. He's like this young guy.
Oh, okay.
You know, you have him in your head now? Yeah. Apparently, he's rumored to be in talks of playing Bond as well. I was like, what the heck? He's like a young kid.
Hmm.
Maybe they're like, we'll take all the movies are doing reboots of like the young hip actors now. We'll make Bond a young hip guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of weird to
make it more like Kingsman.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. That's actually a great point. I didn't really think about that. What if they did? Of course, I feel like Kingsman is like the young version of Bond.
Sort of. Just leave them separate. Yeah. I'm excited for Kingsman.
Me too, man.
Yeah, I love
Kingsman.
I'm
really pumped about that.
That was a huge surprise to me. I didn't think anything of it, and I just randomly watched, and I was like, holy crap,
right.
This is awesome.
I'm hoping you still enjoy X-Men even, because you've heard us say like, oh, we really liked it a lot.
Yeah,
me,
I'm sure I will.
When I went into it, I was like, I'm not expecting much, and that's why I'm like, wow, I really like that.
I mean, I'm sure whatever. I'll like it.
So have you made your decision on what movie you're going to see?
Yeah, I'll go see that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you enjoy it, Preston.
I was just watching Hot Rod last night, and I really like Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
And I heard that Pop Star wasn't as bad as people thought it was going to be. So I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll enjoy it.
Right.
But I'll probably just go see that instead.
Nice.
But that was episode 53 of the It's Obvious Gaming podcast, the show where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games and other things. If you liked that, please leave us a comment and a like down below. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel and also our iTunes, and leave us a good 5 stars there if you approve of us.
And tell us that this podcast is just okay in the review, and that'll do just fine for us.
A 5-star, though.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
We're also on, are we on all the other stuff yet? Or
I'm going to email
really?
Them and find out, because they told me on the phone, like, we're going to put you on it this week. I was like, great. Yeah. And they haven't done it yet, so I'm gonna find out from them. But regardless, we're very thankful that they're doing that for us, and we look forward to being available on all those platforms for you guys.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.
It was. You're both very handsome.
Oh,
thank you. I meant to mention when I saw you when you got out of your car earlier that your color coordination's on point again.
Thank you.
I know the trim on your shirt's slightly orange and your hat's like a maroon color.
I hope you
would
notice.
In the sun, in the sunlight, it works.
Yes,
but it does look good regardless.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Jacob, your muscles look great as well, as always.
Thanks.
I got nothing to offer here. I got a Mega Man shirt on.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, that's about
it. What Mega Man is that from?
You already told me it's 2.
Okay, but I had to tell you.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
But yeah, that's all for me.
All right, sounds good. We'll check you guys out next week.
Sorry?
Let's restart that. Beep. We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, you guys have a good week.